You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, hour number 2 of 3 now upon us. If you're tuning in late, where were you? You missed a great first hour, opening salvo with Peter Brimelow of VDare.com, former editor of Forbes magazine. Yes, the Forbes magazine, along with many other venerable publications. Peter Brimelow with us during the first hour tonight. If you did miss it, it's okay. You can catch it in the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The archive of each live show goes up just minutes after we wrap things up here on Saturday evening. Well, I would tell you welcome back to the program and give you the date, but I don't know. I can't remember what day it is. I know it's Saturday, but does anybody know what day it is? I've got kids. I've got a 5-year-old and a 10-month-old, so they all kind of blur together now. We'll find out later, but it's a Saturday night. September the 19th. There you go. Thank you. All right. So September the 19th, and we're having a good time tonight. We're going to be spending the entire second hour talking about the most recent GOP debate. Keith Alexander is barreling towards the studio. He should be pulling into the parking lot as we speak, and he's going to be coming up here, and we're going to get him on, and we're going to really sink our teeth into the debate, which I thought was really poorly done. CNN just did a very bad job trying to drive ratings by pitting the candidates against one another, trying to pick fights. And then they had these two other moderators that were kind of in the background that said something maybe once an hour. I didn't really understand that setup, but they didn't have a buzzer. Everybody was talking all over each other. Entirely too many people on stage. 11 people. Are you kidding me? 3 hours. It was like reading Hamlet. And it was just... It just did not come off as well as the Fox debate, you know, even though that one, you know, had its own problems with the vitriol aimed at Trump. This one certainly had some of that as well, but the very bad job overall. But at least those candidates were talking about something of substance, unlike Hillary Clinton. So, you know, why is there not a Democratic debate, by the way? I mean, Bernie Sanders is leading Hillary in some states. And there are a couple of other candidates running, too. Why aren't the Democrats having debates? Why is it just the Republican side? Interestingly, in addition to his domination of the Republican field, most polls now show Donald Trump leading in a hypothetical race against Hillary Clinton, who sat down for a hard-hitting interview this week herself with Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell. I'm not joking, folks. You remember Saved by the Bell, that early 90s comedy on NBC about the high schoolers? Yeah, she sat down with Mario Lopez. Let's listen in very quickly as Keith gets mic'd up. Here we go.
Social media, Kim Kardashian, believe it or not, is the number one most followed person with over 45 million people. Mm-hmm. Is she a good role model for women?
You know, I just met her for the first time. She came to one of my fundraisers in Los Angeles, and I really enjoyed meeting her. I really found her to be warm and, you know, very personable. She had a nice way of introducing her husband as if I didn't know who he was, right? And I enjoy seeing her with her daughter. So I think all of us in our own ways can be inspirational or aspirational for people. And I certainly think many people see her as someone who gets up every day and tries to figure out how to make that day successful.
You mentioned her husband, Kanye, who said he has plans to run in 2020. What advice would you have for him?
Well, if I'm going for my second term, to wait 4 years, but if I'm not, to be sure he has comfortable shoes, because there's a lot of walking involved.
All right, folks, so I mean, what do you say? So here's Hillary Clinton, the presumptive Democratic nominee. And instead of answering any questions, instead of debating, yeah, I guess she should win before she gives that advice, but she's fielding questions from Mario Lopez, for goodness sake, about Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. And you say, well, James, you probably just cut out, the most ridiculous part. Go watch the whole interview. It was on Extra. Mario Lopez is hosting Extra now. And not only did she field questions, she gave the worst possible answer, saying Kim Kardashian is a role model. Kanye West, ha, 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 you know, he would be a good presidential come on. You know, this, and they're trying to show the softer side of Hillary, her campaign, because she comes across as a battle axe. I mean, she really is the sea hag. And she was on Jimmy Fallon's show. He took, you know, over for Jay Leno, I guess, on The Tonight Show, and he's pulling her hair, and they're laughing it up. Keith, help me here. Keith Alexander, everybody. He's in studio now. Hillary Clinton, fielding the tough questions out there.
There's one word that comes to mind when I look at that interview. It's vapid. V-A-P-I-D. She is the most vapid, brainless individual when she tries to come across as folksy. And just imagine that. See, the thing is, everything that she said is an affront to right-thinking people. She's trying to tell the tell the general public that the Kardashians are role models, that they are people that should inspire us, and that they are just like us. Heaven forbid that the Kardashians are just like anyone else. If they're not aberrant, then we're in a lot of trouble in America, James.
Well,
this is what the Democratic Party stands for. They stand for this complete rejection of traditional values that's represented by the Kardashian family.
Yeah, you were at, obviously, Keith, our 10-year anniversary celebration here in Memphis last October. We're actually coming up on the one-year anniversary of that event, which will be our 11th anniversary on air next month, God willing and Jesus tarries. But that was a sellout crowd. I swear to you, Keith, we had more people in that crowd than Hillary Clinton did in New Hampshire a couple of days ago. Bernie Sanders is going to the University of New Hampshire next week, and he's already got hundreds more people signed up than Hillary. Very sparse crowd in a very small room for Hillary there. And
she's living in an alternative universe. She thinks she's going to win this thing. She obviously
I wouldn't count
that.
Her out yet. I wouldn't. I mean, not because she should, but because the IQ of the voting public is so low. We have so many low information, ignorant, pathetic Americans out there. I mean, that she would even, you know, and she wants to be a feminist. The only reason she's anybody is because Bill Clinton got her pregnant. If it wasn't for Bill Clinton, the sea hag wouldn't even be on anybody's radar. She owes everything to Bill Clinton. She owes everything. She owes everything to Bill Clinton. But, you know, nevertheless, she very well, I mean, she probably will, if she can stay out of jail, she probably will win the Democratic nomination. And unless she goes up against Donald Trump, she will win the presidency.
Well, I tell you what, this is, you know, the choices are slim and none, basically. We've got Donald Trump, who in my mind is the only acceptable candidate running for either of the two major parties. And if Donald Trump doesn't get in there, you know, I quite frankly, I'm going to have to revisit this, but my initial reaction is it won't be worth going out to the polls for.
Did you get to hear the Peter Brimelow interview on the way out to the studio tonight?
I did, indeed.
The car? So now Peter says that they've run the data at VDARE, and that hypothetically we could still, as the founding stock, elect a candidate who reflects our interest well into the middle of the century, but it would require that candidate, if demographic trends persist, receiving 80 to 90% of the white vote, which a Republican isn't going to do because a Republican isn't going to seek that vote.
Well, I'm going to explore why we are in the predicament we're in now after these words from our sponsors.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, so we gave you a quick zinger about Hillary Clinton and Mario Lopez. You know, she faces the tough questions. We're going to get back to the GOP debate, which is the, you know, certainly the biggest story in town. But before we get to that, let me stand up here and just let me tell you what I'm seeing here. Keith just, you know, during the commercial break, he went to the green room, and he came back with – Keith, explain. Go one by one on what you came back with from the green room. Yeah, WMQM really treats its talent well. What do you got there, Keith?
Pretzels, Pringles, red grapes.
On the mic.
Red grapes, blue grapes, and a glass of a
it looks like
iced tea.
All right, so he came back from the green room. I'll repeat. He was too busy eating. He's got a bag of pretzels, red grapes. What is that? Purple grapes?
Purple grapes and Pringles.
Cheddar cheese Pringles. He came in here like Santa Claus. He had everything, and then a glass of tea with some crushed ice. You do it big when you do it, Keith.
That's right, yeah. Live, live large. That's my motto. I'm just like Sam.
Oh, you got that right. Okay, let's get back to the GOP debate. Keith, did you watch the GOP debate?
I did.
What are your takeaways?
It was more boring than the first one because – our friend Donald Trump was trying to play nice with people.
Yeah, you know, I didn't like that. You know, when they brought up the whole Carly Fiorina, the comment he made about her face. You know, rather than saying, "Oh, you're beautiful, Carly, you're a beautiful face," you know, what he should have said is, and I'm sure if he had had a heads
she
up,
said
he
she looks like a stack of used tires.
No, well, besides that, what he honestly should have said is, if you can't take a comment like that, you need to get off this stage. If you can't take somebody making a critique about your appearance, you have no business running for president.
But I mean, then she's just making comments about him with his comb over and stuff like that. We're hearing that all the time.
And if it was a critique about another man, nobody would have said anything. But see, that's the thing. She's running on the fact that she's a woman. The only reason that she is getting any attention is that she's a woman. I'm not going to say that she's completely incompetent. I mean, what she says, I certainly disagree with. She speaks well. I just wish she wouldn't speak at all. You know, one of the things she was asked, a question about foreign policy, everybody excoriates Donald Trump for being, in their opinion, not having a substance on policy. I would rather lack substance on some policy or still be figuring it out than to have an answer like Carly Fiorina, who said that she would completely cut off communications with Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is the head of the only nation that I can see right now that America should be trying to form an alliance with. You know, the things going on in Russia are very positive if you're a Christian.
Well, I'll tell you exactly
why that
is.
She went total hawk. She said, no communication with Putin. Let's send the 6th Fleet into Crimea. Let's try to intimidate this guy that could, you know, wipe us off the map. And Putin is a guy
I'll tell you exactly why there is such an animus among the entire establishment, Democrat and Republican, to Vladimir Putin. It's because they are all closeted globalists. And Putin is a nationalist. And they're alarmed as heck about Donald Trump because they are beginning to get the sense that if you scratch the surface deep enough, he is going to be a nationalist too. He is going have tariffs. He's going to be an economic patriot. He's going to build a border wall. His immigration policy statement paper shows him to be a nationalist, and that is totally off script for the establishment that is running the world, class, as Burnham called it.
And even if you say you don't really know what he is, well, that's better than knowing what the others are because we know they're no good. I mean, at least he's a maverick enough and he's got enough money to where he could be anything, and he very well may be one of us on some issues. But this thing about Carly Fiorina, you know, everybody's just fawning all over her. It really makes me sick. She actually repulses me more right now than Hillary Clinton. With regards to the fawning media on Fox, on CNN, everybody, Fiorina on fire, the Fiorina phenomenon. She is very, very average. If she was a man, she would come across as very average, middle of the pack, if not, well, I mean, she's polling at 3%, so I think to say she's middle of the pack is to do her a great compliment.
You know, they are so dishonest. I'm surprised that they don't somehow anoint Jeb Bush to be the sexiest man alive. You know, they have that type of thing, you know, and he is, you know, the antithesis of that.
And he got alpha'd a couple of times during the debate, too. He demanded Trump apologize to his wife. Trump said no, and Jeb just kind of cucked up.
Jeb is a pathetic excuse for a man. Let's just say what we're all thinking. In fact, every last one of those guys, Lindsey Graham, Huckleberry Huckabee, Fiorina is a terrible. Also, this is something that he brought out in his press conferences. He didn't do it when he was face to face with the woman. But what he has said is that she did a terrible number on a lot of middle class, hardworking Americans when she took over Lucent Corporation, which was before she got on with Hewlett-Packard.
Well, she ran into the ground, and people can say, and she'll say, well, it was the board of directors. When you're at the helm, whatever happens on your watch, good or bad, is ultimately your responsibility. Whether it really is or not is irrelevant. That's the way it goes down.
He was interviewing a woman that had worked for Lucent that lost over $1 million her entire retirement because of Carly Fiorina's machinations and disreputable behavior as CEO. Now, that's the type of information that needs to come out. That's the type of information that the mainstream media ought to be providing to us about these candidates. But if it's someone that they like, someone other than Trump, they're going to bury it. They want anybody but Trump to come on. I read an article in the Memphis Communist Appeal, Commercial Appeal is what its proper name is, by a guy named Michael Gershon, talking about the summer of Trump and what a calamity it would be for not only America, but for the world if Donald Trump got in power. I'll tell you why they think it's a calamity, James. It has all to do with James Burnham's concept. He's one of the seminal thinkers of paleoconservatism, of what he calls the managerial state and the managerial class. It may be a little bit too late in this segment to get into, but I'd like to get into it sometime this hour if we can.
Sure, yeah, and we got all the next hour, too. It's me and Keith the rest of the way. Eddie's fundraising for St. Jude down at the Cooper Young Festival tonight, and he texted me a moment ago, so best wishes to Eddie. He'll be back next week. We've got the rest of the program to ourselves, so we got plenty of time.
Okay, well, the managerial class, what is it? It is in business, it's called the managerial class. In government, it's called technocrats and technocracy. Now, what is it? It's government by experts is what technocracy is, and managerial class is business by experts. And let me break it down as elementally as possible. Think of it this way. If James or I were to buy an electrical company, like an electrician's business, we'd be out of business in 6 months and lose our shirts unless we got someone in there that really understood electricity. If we went out there and tried to start doing electrical work, like wiring people's houses, we'd probably electrocute each other, okay? Or one another, or, we'd be in deep, or there's no way we could do the job competently. That's because we don't have the know-how. And because of the industrialization of the economy that happened with the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, all businesses now, or most businesses, are dependent upon people who have this type of specialized know-how. You know, James and I don't know how to weld. So if we opened a welding company, it would be, you know, errant foolishness, and we would be doomed to failure. Well, the government has developed its own managerial class called technocrats. This is government by experts. It was a Jewish invention that started gaining currency first during the Woodrow Wilson administration, then really took on steam and got a foothold, a beachhead in the government during the Franklin Delano Roosevelt New Deal era. And it is in charge now, large and in charge. What does this have to do with Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina and the present day nomination process for the next election of 2016? Stay tuned after these words from our sponsors and find out all about it.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases. If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Around the world indeed, across the country and around the world, in fact, people from all over the place tuning in to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. What an honor it is to be a program of record for our people, and we are certainly that and much, much more. All right, Keith, we really have a lot more to cover tonight on the debates. We're going to bounce around and talk about several different candidates, have a mixed bag, rapid-fire segment. But before we get to that, we're going to get to that, or at least start at this segment, I want to quickly give you the opportunity to finish making the point you made as we headed into that last commercial.
Okay, I think the key to understanding the angst that the establishment, both Democrat and Republican, feel about the Trump, Donald Trump candidacy for the Republican nomination is founded in James Burnham's ideas about the managerial class that he wrote about at length. Technocracy is the name or for the process of having a government by experts. Whenever you hear about an energy czar, a housing czar, or a education czar, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about an unelected bureaucrat. The ACLJ, that's Jay Sekulow, he's a Jewish guy. I think he's a Messianic Christian, as they call a Jew that has converted to Christianity. But he has this program on Christian radio, and he's got this American Law and Justice Center that's always bringing First Amendment suits on religious freedom, and doing a good job for doing that, by the way. I'm not in any way putting him down, but one of his points is that unelected people are really running the government. We have an unelected federal judiciary that basically sets social policy for America, as we've seen with the Obamacare decision, with the everything from Brown versus Board of Education, the gay marriage decision recently. That's one unelected group. The other unelected group, the big group, is the federal bureaucracy. And that is another way of describing technocracy and technocrats within this managerial class theory of James Burnham's. Now, the theory is this. You witless goyim can go out here and compete for the beauty contest called the general election, but then once you win, hand the keys to the buggy over to us technocratic experts in government, and we'll run the government. That's what has been going on. That's why they insist upon nominating people who really aren't very smart, have IQs maybe around 100 at best, like George W. Bush, like John Kerry, like Al Gore, like Barack Obama. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for people that aren't smart enough to choose to chew their own food intellectually. Now, what is it about Trump that bothers him? Trump obviously is smart enough to solve the Gordian knot. He's out there in the rough and tumble of the business world and has become a billionaire based on his own wits and his own ability to break facts down, break down, get information, digest it, make it comprehensible to himself, and to act on it in a way where he wins the business battle against people that basically want to see him destroyed and broke. That really worries the establishment, because there you have a guy that is liable to be able to implement policies that will really change the direction of government and is not going to be dependent upon technocrats in the way that all of our recent presidents have been. That's what Trump represents to them, which is a real challenge to their system of power and control, James, in my opinion.
Very good commentary, a commentary the likes of which you will only receive on this radio network. Thank you, Keith. Let's get back to the debates. I don't know if that was a sub-aspect of the debates, but let's get back to the debate.
We're trying to understand why the establishment is in such a four-alarm panic about the Trump presidency, why they're all mobilized, that they have all put aside their normal squabbles to train their guns on Trump. This is why, in my opinion.
The entire media, all of the other 27 candidates that were on stage at the Reagan Library a couple of days ago. But a closing word on Carly Fiorina. In addition to the fact that this media fawning all over her, this lavish adulation that they're affording her, it's just so sick.
Extravagant praise.
It is. Well, that's perfectly worded, Keith. I know nobody in this audience would think of voting for her because of the facts, but the facts remain. Look in her past. Look in her history. She is... I'll just give you Peter Brimelow, who was on there the first hour.
Look, where Donald Trump has succeeded in business, she's fallen flat on her face, but she's supposed to be the genius.
There you go. And he's supposed to be the buffoon that doesn't know anything about policy. And if he doesn't know anything, that's a step up from her foreign policy, which
his bank account would argue otherwise.
Alienate Putin and borderline bomb Russia. Peter Brimelow was on, of course, during the first hour. There is an article at VDare.com that really breaks down Carly Fiorina's stand on certain things. Documentation of her in the past praising Jesse Jackson, playing the race and gender cards when it suits her to do so, supporting Sonia Sotomayor, and it just goes on and on. You know, anybody that supports Jesse Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor, and plays the race and gender cards, not for me. All right, back to the debates, though.
Not very conservative, let's say that.
Hunter Wallace broke down quite a few takeaways from this thing at Occidental Dissent, and he's a good friend of ours. He writes that Jeb was the biggest loser of the evening. He got alphaed by Trump several times. We actually talked about this a moment ago. He demanded Trump apologize to his wife. Trump said no, and that was just it for Jeb. Ben Carson, though, now this is a guy that, according to the so-called polls, he's nipping at Trump's heels. He's at supposedly at 20%. I think if he's at 20%, 17 of that percent are people who answer the phone and say they're going to vote for him because they're afraid the pollsters would consider them to be racist if they didn't. So there's his support. But Ben Carson is really the cure for insomnia. If you ever watch him, I think he practically fell asleep on stage, Keith. But his overall act, you've been obviously married. You've raised kids. I'm in that stage myself in life. I've got an infant son. And
get a recording of Ben Carson, and you'll never be awakened in the middle of the night again.
After the 14th time my son wakes up during the night, and then my wife wants to start a conversation, and you know that part where you're asleep, but you're still talking, and you don't really – that's Carson. And he's an okay guy. Listen, I mean, I like some of the things he says about taxes. If 10% is enough for God, it should be enough for the government. You know, if every black had his temperament, there wouldn't be any racial strife. But
let me tell you what the problem is with him, okay? Unfit for leadership. Why? He lives in this little bubble called the medical world where everybody fawns over him because he's a doctor. And now he's in a political arena where everybody's fawning on him because, one, he's a doctor, which means he's smarter than the average bear, and he's black. It's like the Tea Party disease writ large. What he does is, you know, in the Tea Party, if a black guy shows up at a Tea Party event to deliver a pizza, they put him up on the speaker's dais and tell you that he's this great expert and that he believes in everything they do because they're frightened, because they're white, that they have no validity. Their ideas have no validity because they have bought the lie, the politically correct lie, that they should feel guilt about the plight of non-white people throughout the world. So that's why Ben Carson is here. He supposedly is going to assuage everybody's guilt, just like people voted for Obama thinking they were somehow going to atone or expunge their white guilt. Now they want the Republicans and the Republican voter base to do the same thing by voting for Ben Carson. The problem is Ben Carson has not succeeded in the rough and tumble world of capitalism and high finance and big business. and is probably not going to figure out a way to do an end run on the bureaucrats and the technocrats, but Donald Trump may very well do that, and that's why they're trying to push Ben Carson on one hand, Carly Fiorina on the other, anybody but Trump, which means the fact that they're against Trump is probably the best reason of all for us to be for him.
Hear, hear. And ultimately, Ben Carson's act is to be the black guy that's going to heal racial divide. That was Obama's act in 2008. We see how that went. What else? The media consensus, of course, and we've been talking about this, is that Fiorina and Rubio won the debate. They won the debate because they gave the most polished answers, even if the polished way in which they delivered their answers.
Reminds me of that old Wendy's commercial, "Where's the Beef?" I was too impressed with the polish of Rubio, but then it's like
you got to look at what he's saying. You got to look at what he's saying.
Yeah, it's like eating Chinese food. You're hungry.
Well, they both favor later. Amnesty, and so that for that reason alone, you should never consider voting for them. We got to take a break. We'll be back more on the debates right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Welcome back to Get On the Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so quick. We really need to move quickly in this segment, Keith. I want to cover just some hits and misses on the debate, some observations that we made. There was, of course, a sub-debate during the debate about which of the candidates could cuck the hardest for Israel. The real winner of the debate a couple of days ago was Ann Coulter, and we'll get to that in a second. But they were all trying to cuck for Israel. Because Sheldon Adelson was in the crowd. So this is something, this was an establishment Republican crowd. If you're wondering why they cheered so hard when Carly Fiorina made the comment that all women heard what Donald Trump said. You know, and when he said she was beautiful, she looked like some sort of a stone monster. You know, her face just turned to stone, you know, like Medusa. And but they all cheered her because this is, you know, it was a small crowd and it was only the donor base of the Republicans were allowed into that. So it wasn't the people that actually vote for Republicans, but rather the people who try to buy the Republican candidates.
Well, she gives new credence to the observation that Washington is Hollywood for ugly people. Now, she's definitely set for Washington because, I mean, she has a face that would sour milk. She'd make a freight train take a dirt road, as they say.
That's
here
one
in
of
country.
Your best quotes, Keith. Make a freight train take a dirt road. You've been saying that for years. And Trump, you know, honestly, he didn't make any fatal mistakes, as Hunter Wallace writes. He didn't help or hurt himself. He just, you know, he tried to play nice too much. And what he should have said to Fiorina in that moment was that
if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Exactly. Honestly, Mike Huckabee probably had the best moment of the night for me. I would never consider voting for Huckabee, but he did basically say word for word what Michael Perutka said in the clip that we played last week on the political cesspool with regards to Kim Davis and judicial tyranny. Huckabee was really strong on that. I think for any candidate who answered any question, Huckabee probably gave the strongest answer of any candidate on that particular issue when he made his comment on religious liberties. But, you know, again...
So he's right on about 5% of the 360 degrees of what the issues are.
But it was still a good answer. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, he's not in the running for my vote. Scott Walker, he did an outburst against Trump and then he disappeared. Interestingly, Scott Walker, who's basically just vamped out in this whole thing, it's come to light now this week, thanks to the intrepid media, that there is a David Duke Scott Walker connection. In 1992, when Duke was riding his crest, you know, that was right after he'd won, I guess, the Republican nomination for governor. He received over 500,000 votes, very nearly became governor of Louisiana. He was trying to run for president in 92. And Scott Walker was this little GOP lap boy in Wisconsin at the time that was fighting to keep David Duke off the ballot. Even that, it's because he appeared on the same program to try to keep Duke off of the ballot. They were on the same show at the same time. They say Scott Walker has a David Duke connection. Anyway, Scott Walker's just another wimp. He's not, you know, he's not a guy that he's, you know,
he's a stalking horse. If he gets in,
well, he's not.
The Democrats' whole program in the general election will be, can you believe that the Republicans have nominated a dummy that doesn't even have a bachelor's degree?
Well, that wouldn't even bother me so much if he was right on the issues, but...
No, he's not right on the issues, I'm saying, in other words, the Democrats would like him to be up as the candidate because he would be so easy to knock down.
Ultimately, the big winner of the debate, in my opinion, was Ann Coulter, who during the debate, if you give Ann a bottle of wine and a keyboard, she can really do damage. She can really do damage. And so she was on.
Talk about speaking truth to power.
Well, listen, I've had some issues with her in the past, but I gotta say, you know, she did it. She did exactly what
She's like fine wine. She gets better with age.
Apparently. Well, so she's on Twitter towards the end of the debate. Now, after 2.5 hours of this thing, and CNN managed it so poorly, anybody that made it that far, you know, was in dire straits. But apparently, she started tweeting towards the end of this thing, and she said, here's how you get applause from GOP donors. Pledge to start a war, denounce abortion, cite Reagan, cite Israel. She followed that up with all GOP candidates, pro-life, pro-Reagan, pro-Israel. Pandering on all three tonight was epic in capital letters. And then finally, she wrote, how many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? And that is, of course, because we know that Jews make up how much of the percentage of the population, Keith?
1.7.
1.7% of the population, and every GOP candidate talked about what they would do for Israel, how big of a friend they would be for Israel, how they would advance the Jewish cause. Listen, I'm not saying you should do things to hurt anybody, including Jews or blacks or Hispanics or whomever, but that every major candidate would of the Republican Party would pander explicitly to the Jews rather than anyone else.
Talk about the tail wagging the dog. 1.7% of the population has probably 90% of the influence in the corridors of power in America.
Well, and then
you know that 1.7% of the population is Jewish. They've nosed out homosexuals. Homosexuals are 1.6% of the population.
Well, which is the only other, I guess, percentage of the population that gets pandered to as much as the former, Keith, that you just mentioned. And Ann Coulter had a great response to this. She didn't back down. She said, you know, I was totally wrong about this Jewish power and influence thing. I wrote the comments last night, and I haven't heard a word about it. And, of course, she was being facetious because she had been denounced by everybody, by the entire national media. It's supposedly anti-Semitic to say, to ask, to question, to feel disgusted that the entire Republican establishment spends half of the debate pandering to Israel instead of to Americans.
Let me just tell you this. If you study the political landscape, and you don't have serious questions arise in your mind about the extent of Jewish power and influence, you're just plain stupid. That's all there is to say about it. You know, if you can't look at these facts and find that there's an inordinate connection between liberalism and Jewish power and influence, then, you know, you don't know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west.
Well, and of course, we agree with the Jews when they say, Keith, that with Jewish individuals, when they say, and I think David Stein has written about it,
David Stein.
And then a writer for the Times of Israel, when he brags about the fact that Jews control the media. So we agree with them when they say this. But Ann Coulter, to my knowledge, is the first conservative commentator since yours truly and Pat Buchanan were denounced in tandem by a national press release by the ADL. And the ADL talked about how anti-Semitic and ugly and spiteful Ann Coulter was just because she was embarrassed at the grotesque pandering taking place there on that stage at the Reagan Library.
Telling the truth can get you in deep trouble, as the little boy who told the emperor who he had no clothes found out.
And to his credit, talking about being unapologetic, Donald Trump, I firmly believe that questioner in the crowd in New Hampshire at that debate he gave a couple of days ago, or not the debate, rather, but the appearance, the speech, I firmly believe he was a plant. He was just too much of a caricature to be real, especially on the first question. But Donald Trump said no apologies. He would not apologize. Everybody said because he didn't defend Barack Obama, he should apologize. And all of this media, for God's sake, ladies and gentlemen, they say that Barack Obama is not a Muslim, he's a Christian. If a Barack Obama is a Christian, I am black, and I'm unadulteratedly black. I am an African-American 100% of the way if Barack Obama is a Christian. They said Trump should have denounced the guy who gave the question. He should have said Barack Obama is a citizen, and he's not a Muslim, he's a Christian. You know, folks, that is so sick.
If he's a Christian, he's a Christian heretic, okay, because he does not believe.
He has persecuted Christians, Keith.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. He's the anti-Christian.
But I will give Trump credit, and I will give Ann Coulter credit for not apologizing. Trump said, what am I supposed to do, defend Barack Obama? Would Barack Obama defend me if someone said something in a question and answer session? Of course not. Donald should have gone on the offensive and sunk his teeth into this issue a little more. But nevertheless, kudos to Ann Coulter for not backing down from her comments about being embarrassed about the level of pandering that was going on towards Israel, and for saying, you know, basically what she was saying, Keith, is why are all of these candidates spending so much time of their debate pandering towards a percentage of the population that's 1.7? And then Donald Trump.
I'll tell you why.
With New Hampshire, kudos to him for not apologizing for not shouting down this guy.
Well, the reason, I can say it in one word, why the Republican establishment and all of these candidates, with the exception of Donald Trump, pander to Jewish power and influence, because M-O-N-E-Y, money. Money talks and BS walks, and everything except money is BS in their eyes. As Tip O'Neill said, money is the mother's milk of politics, and they want the money, they know where to go to get it, and if they have to pander, if they have to crawl on their belly like a snake, They'll do it.
And they do it. Well, folks, I added a link to this article, which was posted on September the 17th. So that was 2 days ago. Ann Coulter wins GOP debate. At the very end of that article, you'll see a link, and you can read the ADL's press release that announces Pat Buchanan and yours truly. And so Ann Coulter joins privileged company there. And I was looking back on some of this stuff, the furor of the last time that Buchanan appeared on this show. Buchanan wrote an excellent article, by the way. I'd like to cover it in the next hour if we have time, about how the purging of the Confederate heroes is just abominable. It's his most recent article. It's at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. But I was looking back on the media attention that we got in our last interview with Buchanan, and the ADL press release. Ann Coulter was subjected to the same hatred this a couple of days ago. What this show has done, Keith, what we do every night, every night's a victory that we're on the air, and the amount of media attention that we command, and the program of record that we are, and the issues that we bring to the table, and the guests that we make available to this audience is just incredible, folks. Don't let us go down. Support our work. We need you. Our third quarter fundraising drive is going on right now.
You need us. We need you.
Yes, we need you. You need us. It's a symbiotic relationship. Donate tonight. Third hour coming up right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.